You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the...
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It looked like the computer wanted to get back on the clock. We're starting the show just a couple minutes late today, and for good reason. We have two great guests on today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Bruce Grierson about his book, What Makes Olga Run? Exciting book that may share some of the important factors in reaching your own longevity goals. Then we're going to switch it up and talk about the confusion over dairy. With New York Times bestselling author Jordan Rubin. So that's a little bit later in the show. But let's get started right away. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm very well, Carl. You?
Good. Did I pronounce your last name right? Is it Grierson?
You did.
Okay, very good.
You did. It's about 50-50 whether people get that right.
Yeah. I took a shot. Anyway, so this is a really interesting book. And this really speaks to a lot of the topics that we cover in this show and have covered for the past 9 years. So let's talk, first of all, about the subject of the book. Olga, what's her last name?
Her name's Katelko. It's a Ukrainian name. She lives in Canada now. And she actually was born and lives in Canada. Her family's from the Ukraine. But, yeah.
So tell my audience a little bit about Olga. How old is she?
Yeah. Well, Olga, 3 weeks ago, I went to breakfast with her as she celebrated her 95th birthday.
95, wow.
Yeah, you're looking at her, you'd think she was maybe 65 or so. When I first met her 5 years ago, she looked in her 50s, I would say. She's aged a bit.
Right.
She's still looking pretty good. And she's acting pretty youthful as well.
Now, when you wrote this book, it was at a time where she had just competed in a race, a sprinting race, really, right? A short distance.
Yeah. Well, she competes in this arena called Masters Track. So it's track and field for people who are technically, you and I could are eligible. It's usually 35 and over. So you get a few former Olympians who are still trying to maintain their chops, and they're in it at the lower level. But then you get people all the way up into Olga's one of the oldest, but she's not the oldest who competes in these things. There are people over 100 doing
really.
Some of the field events. You don't see anyone over 100 in the sprints, but Olga still is in the sprints. So when I met her at she was 89 turning 90, and she was pretty excited to be moving up to a new category, the 90 to 95. And when you do that, you at that level, you find that the competition thins out fairly quickly, and you're liable to win some more world records. The funny thing is that people assume that when you're that old and you're going to track meets, that all you have to do really is sort of fall forward.
Just show up.
And you show up. Fog a mirror and you win a gold medal.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, with Olga, it's not like that. She's actually, I mean, she's pretty impressive. She really does sprint. She runs, she's quite explosive still at 95 years old. She does 11 track events, including the sprints, including high jump. She's the oldest high jumper, and she does long jump, and then she does these field events like javelin and shot put and stuff. And it's not just
Well, she did the 60 meters in the book you wrote. She did the opening passage. She did the 60 meters in 15 seconds.
Yeah,
that's moving. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are 30 and 40 who have sedentary lives that couldn't do that.
It's not shuffling.
Yeah, right.
People think that it's just a shuffle, but it isn't. It's a real run. And she just got back from Budapest for the World Outdoors about 10 days ago, and she ran the 60 meter there. And when you age grade her time, she did it in around 16 seconds. So when you age grade it, and there's these cool tables that you can calculate, your performance at a certain age against the expected decline of the human body for your age.
Interesting.
And so you plug in your time and your age, and then you see how fast that would roughly equate to if you were in the open category. And so her time as a 95-year-old is faster than any woman has ever run. It's better than the open world record.
So, that's amazing.
The age tables are pretty an interesting thing to look at, because it really gives a sense of how we should be doing relative to.
So obviously she's a unique individual, but what made you want to look at her from a subject standpoint?
Well, I'm a social science writer and a science writer, and so. But I also do sort of human interest-y stories. And so when I first heard about Olga way back, 5 years ago, I thought she'd be a fun story, because people really don't know much about Master's Track, and it's neat that this older person was doing all these things. And it didn't take long. And it turns out she actually lives quite close to me here in Vancouver, Canada. So she was a likely subject, and she was very gracious, and she had me over to her house. But it didn't take longer than about 10 minutes or so after meeting her and just looking at her and seeing the way she moved and the way she is, and this youthfulness, this sort of electricity that kind of comes off of her, I thought, wow, I think this is a lot bigger story than just a kind of a fun human interest story.
So does she possess the poise and fluidity of a much younger person when you look at her?
Yeah, poise and fluidity, not bad. Yeah, I would say there was something about I almost called it a kind of an electricity coming off of her, like an energy that I thought. Wow, she could be in her 50s here. And the funny thing that I think here's what made me want to explore this as a much longer project is when I said, Olga, you look young. How old do you feel? And she said, I don't know, 50. She said, I still have the energy that I had at 50 and maybe more. And I said, and then she said, why that is, I don't know. It's a mystery even to me.
Well, did you ever ask her about her mother or her father? Is longevity in her genes?
Yeah, well, that became a central question to build the book around. To what degree is she the product of a really lucky genetic hand, right? And if that's true, to the degree that's true, it's still pretty interesting. I mean, then she becomes a curiosity, but it's not as useful to you and I and everybody else, because then if it's just what you're born with, then it's
you're part of the genetic lottery, and you lose and she wins. But
exactly.
and that's why I'm asking this, because we've espoused on this show for a very long time the importance of physical culture as part of the longevity prescription.
Yeah.
And there's an old chicken and egg question. Do we slow down because we age, or do we age because we slow down?
Well, I went in thinking that probably genes were the bigger part of the story with Olga, and I now think, after we've spent a couple of years of doing a lot of testing on her and as you say, you got to look at her family history and things like that, and it turns out that she doesn't come from a long line of long-lived people. She was the seventh of 11 kids, and she's outlived them all by a fair margin. And her parents weren't that old when they died, and her grandparents weren't that old when they died. So there's obviously, you got to then say, okay, let's look at the way she's lived her life.
Yes. And
when you do that, my conclusion now is that genetics are obviously important in some ways for her, and they're probably important in a lot of ways that we don't yet understand. We've done some genetic testing on Olga, and there's some ways that she has an advantage. For example, she's got some genes that respond well to aerobic training. And it turns out that I don't have those genes. We did a comparison to see. I got my hotspots tested too, and. So in some ways she's acute, she's very responsive to the training that she does. So that's a genetic tailwind there for her. But in a lot of ways she's unremarkable genetically, as far as the things that we did test. And so you got to say it's not only the way she's lived her life, it's the way, it's the things she's been through, it's the strategies she's developed, it's the cognitive kind of hacks that she's... the way she sort of thinks about herself and what she's capable of, and the way she thinks about aging itself. I mean, these things... I mean, they sound trivial and sort of hard to kind of mushy.
Well, you know what the problem is? We're learning more and more about the fact that some of these more touchy-feely esoteric topics actually provide a greater degree of results when it comes to healthy aging and mitigating disease. We talk about stress being a killer. Everybody says, oh, stress is a killer, but no one does anything about it. And something as simple as meditating for 20 minutes twice a day has been shown to lengthen telomeres. I mean, so these touchy-feely, more esoteric things that we can't easily quantify in science tend to be the most powerful portion of the equation. I want to take a break. I got lots of questions for you.
Okay.
We're talking right now with Bruce Grierson. We're talking about a fascinating book here called What Makes Olga Run? The Mystery of the 90-something Track Star and What She Can Teach Us About Living Longer, Happier Lives. Let's face it, we're all looking for longer lives, but who cares if they're not happy? You want to be healthy. You don't want to be sequestered to a wheelchair facing a wall in a facility waiting for someone to roll you back to your room. You want to be engaged in life. And Olga has some secrets to tell. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The reason this government loves Monsanto, because we can no longer afford to do what we've been doing, which is giving everyone money to be our allies.
The war against Monsanto continues.
And there's an old saying, he who controls the food controls the population. You don't have to lift a finger or point a gun to completely control a population. All you have to do is control their food.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Weekdays at noon.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking today with author Bruce Grierson about his book, What Makes Olga Run? So let's talk about Olga. You talk about other people in the book, too, and I want to talk about Olga more. But I want you to talk about, there was one passage in the book where, I'm trying to think, there was a professor at McGill University showing slides of older individuals, and he shows a slide, I believe, of a man and asked the group, he's holding a barbell, and he asked the group, how old do you think this guy is? Talk about him for just a second.
Yeah, well, this is Russ, a physiologist named Russ Heppel, and I sat in on one of his physiology of aging courses, and he was playing around with sort of stereotypes of aging at the beginning, and before he had a really important point to make about the way about the decline of the physical body at a certain point. Anyway, so he put this guy on, and he was a bodybuilder,
right? Really, which we have a lot of bodybuilders in our audience. That's why I want to talk.
Yeah, he was quite dramatically lit, and if you covered his face. Because he had a little.
Yeah, we all age in the face, no matter what we do. Isn't it amazing? I know. From the neck up, we look old, and from the neck down, we look youthful.
This
yeah.
Hair business and the wrinkles. Anyway, you cover that up, and the body of the guy. Russ said, "So how old is this guy?" And people said 25, 30. You know, he was ripped. He had the six pack and the whole business, the big guns, and then Russ said, "Well, he's 67." And wow! So everyone was pretty impressed, this is what you can look like at 67, if you take care of yourself. And so then the people who had found that guy and had taken that original photograph, it was part of a project of older snapshots of older folk who are fit. But this guy kept up his fitness regime, and they found him again 10 years later. Now he's pushing 80. And there he is again, and they put him in the same position, and there he was. And but he had changed. You know, he still looked pretty good for 77, but he had changed. He's lost a lot of muscle mass, and it's not because of anything he did. And the point Russ was making was that something happens to us at around 75, like beyond 30, you start to decline, or 30 or 35, and you got to work a little harder to overcome the slowing metabolism and all of that. But it's when you hit around 75 to 80 that you really the curve of performance. If you look at Olympic if you look at race times and strength and what you can do at 75 versus say early 80s, it drops right off, and we don't really know. Scientists don't really know why that is.
I have some theories, and these are things we've explored, and I actually have my mind works like one of those games where you connect the dots, and I've been connecting dots for the past 9 years, and I've really come up with something that I think speaks to this. And I have no letters after my name, so I don't talk about it because I'm just an average guy. But I'm using I'm using these things myself.
Yeah.
You know, and so but anyway, okay. Continue.
Yeah, no. So it's they have theories too, and I'm sure they'd be keen on hearing your theories. And I don't think anyone. I think the point is no one knows definitively what's going on, but there's a lot of things we think are.
Well,
going on.
There are a lot of things going on. It's not one thing. It's like when a house starts to fall apart. It's not just the bathrooms that fall apart. Everything has wear and tear, and everything has to be addressed on different levels.
But
more importantly. Yeah. I bet you that guy at 80 was still better than most 80-year-olds because he was still training.
Of course, of course, and the, and what we're learning is that the training effect and just taking care of yourself and resistance training particularly it helps us deeper into old age than we ever thought.
And your book was published now recently, right? This book just came out, right?
Yeah.
And it comes out on the heels of a study that was just published 3 weeks ago that shows that not necessarily strength, but the amount of muscle mass that a man carries to the age of 55 and a woman carries to the age of 65 greatly impact their morbidity and mortality rates. Mm-hmm. And so this is being shown in science. It's something I've railed against on this show for years. Doctors pay no attention to muscle. Mm-hmm. In fact, in research, they ignore muscle. BMI takes no account for muscle. No one pays it. And I've been saying muscle is metabolic currency. You save money so that you can retire in style. You better save muscle so all that money isn't going into an institution to change your diapers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say over the last 25 years, one of the big shifts in the way we think about physical fitness is it used to be just all, remember Ken Cooper and the aerobic
run until you wear your feet out. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And now I think everybody would pretty much say you can't just do that. And often you're probably, if you're really going those long distances, you may be doing more harm than good.
Bingo.
So you got to be doing resistance training too. And we used to think that it didn't matter for older folk, but it matters maybe even more for older folk. You got to have a mixture. You can't just do resistance, but you have to have some aerobic and resistance training.
And doesn't it make sense? Because look at us. You know, when we have to look back at hunter-gatherer populations, okay, to actually understand what we were genetically designed for. We are completely mismatched for our environment today in every single area that you can point at. And when you look at hunter-gatherer populations, they walk distances, they lift heavy things. They don't do either of those to the point of complete exhaustion or muscular failure, but they do them both on a day-in and day-out basis. And they have people, and in hunter-gatherer populations, if you get past 14 years old and don't die, and then if you live to be about 30 and don't get an infectious disease, you typically live to be about 70 or so. So this notion that hunter-gatherer populations die at 40 and 50 is nonsense. And what you find is that those individuals at 70 and 80 are climbing trees to get coconuts. They're helping. They are actively engaged in life. They're not waiting for someone to take care. In fact, most of them are helping raise their grandchildren.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the existing sort of hunter-gatherer cultures still on the planet, and the Hadzu of Tanzania is one of them.
Yeah.
The grandmothers actually play a big role. And somebody did a study, I think Frank Marlowe of Harvard did a study about that the grandmothers actually brought the biggest number of calories back to camp. That's how much work they're doing.
Well, not only that, but you know what else? They've been doing it so long, they know what to do. They're more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I've just gotten a commitment from Dr. Daniel Lieberman to come on the show. He wrote the book, History of the Human Body.
Popularized in Born to Run by Chris McDougall, yeah.
Oh, my God. The book is amazing. The book has actually crystallized a lot of my missions on the show. But, you know, you're so right. And we don't get it. We just don't get it. So let's get back to Olga for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of her strategies for a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. I was just going to follow up your last point with Olga and the sort of evolutionary fitness idea is that when it occurred to me that what Olga does, just as in her lifestyle, which very very few of us do, is something approximating the lifestyle of somebody 2 million years ago.
Like yes.
It's not just her events. Like she throws a spear, she lifts a rock, she sprints, but it's the way she lives her life in. She's very. At one point, I compiled a list of the things I do versus the things Olga does. Let's take a snapshot of my life as a middle-aged sort of sedentary guy, and Olga, and my lifestyle is for 23 hours a day I'm pretty inert. I sit.
Right.
I'm as inert as somebody a lot of the time in a in a nursing home because I just sit at a computer terminal or I sleep. And then the other hour a day, I run as fast as I can. Now, that's stupid in a lot of ways. And it's just not that sitting is doing more harm than the exercise that I get in the morning on my run is actually able to compensate for. But then you look at Olga, and the most striking thing for me about her lifestyle is she's always in motion, and she has been since she was 5 years old on the farm in Saskatchewan, you know, schlepping pails of milk. She's just she just doesn't sit long. She doesn't sit in front of a terminal. She doesn't even have a computer, and so she's sitting, she's standing, she's gardening, she's moving around, she's making spaghetti sauce. She's just she's in motion.
Yes,
she doesn't let herself become victim to the to the problems of a sedentary lifestyle. And so that was one of the
and that harkens back to the hunter gatherer a template of activity. Hunter gatherers didn't sit all day long. They moved all day long. They moved.
Yeah, they rested. They definitely rested. Like when people forget that they did, you know, you went on the hunt and you took a good long
nap
rest.
Yeah, they napped in the afternoon regularly, they were like big cats, you know.
Yeah, you definitely need time to recover, and a lot of us forget that too. We push ourselves. We don't sleep enough and then we get run down, and then think we can push through it. So you definitely you need to rest and recover, but you also just don't sit in one place for a long stretch like we do. So anyway, that was one of the big differences that I noticed with Olga. Also, just things like diet. I mean,
well, I want to ask you a question about her diet, also about sleep, since you invoked this. And sleep is another one of these things that people underrate for its ability to mitigate disease and increase longevity. We're going to take a quick commercial break. It's really a fascinating book. It's a fascinating read, too. What Makes Olga Run? You can get it at finer bookstores. Check your local bookstores. Of course, Amazon.com always has books like this as well. So check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
The government may be watching us, but he's watching the government. He's Carl Lenore, only on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard.
car, go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget, you can get the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for free for 30 days. It's free trial. Go to superhumanradio.com. Click the Age Force Fat Burner Patch banner ad. Use the coupon code SR30 and get a 30-day supply for free and try it yourself. We're talking with Bruce Grierson. He's the author of What Makes Olga Run. So let's talk about Olga a little bit more. So what are some of her lifestyle tactics? So does she sleep well, first of all?
Yeah, well, sleep is an interesting one. She does sleep well, and you know, part of the reason that she sleeps well is she exercises
yes.
a lot, and she has the temper. She doesn't have a very neurotic temperament, and so she's not. I find that the research shows that people who are not who are able to kind of shut off their problems at nighttime, and rather than sort of stew about it and pick everything apart. Fall asleep faster. The trick is you want to fall asleep quickly once you're tired, rather than kind of let your mind go into overdrive. She sleeps differently than most of us. She has a kind of a what's called a polyphasic.
I was going to say polyphasic.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of different kinds of polyphasic sleep. It just means that you don't sleep for one block of 8 hours, whatever.
Right, consolidated sleep.
Awake for the rest of
right.
it. Yeah, consolidated
right.
sleep. So
right.
what she does is she'll go to sleep at around 10, and then she'll wake up. She naturally wakes up. This isn't something that she decided she was going to do. This is something her body did, and she honored her body doing it. It was she wakes up around 2 in the morning, and then she does an exercise program that she invented, and it's a combination of stretches and sort of self massage. She kind of systematically starts at her toes and goes to her scalp, and she massages herself, and she uses a wine bottle that she rolls over, with her back to do her back, and she does all this in bed, and she does it without turning the light on. So she doesn't get
impede melatonin production. See, you know what's interesting about
exactly.
this? We know that this is the way hunter-gatherers actually slept. In fact, this even continued on until the Industrial Revolution, where consolidated sleep was beneficial for factory workers. And just the way they had women railing against alcohol, they had women railing against men who wouldn't go to sleep early and get up early in the morning because it didn't fit the industrial model. But before the industrial model, we had a fellow on the show a couple years ago who wrote an interesting book where he went back through French medical records and saw that before the Industrial Revolution, doctors, they acknowledged that people were sleeping in two different phases every night, and they actually called it first sleep and second sleep. So women who were having trouble conceiving, they would say, well, have sex after the first sleep. And so we know that people slept this way naturally, the way animals sleep whenever they want. We don't say to your dog, no, get up, you'll sleep later. You let the dog take a nap. And people slept in a polyphasic until the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. It's funny. Is that Rod? It was Ekirch that you had on the show?
I think it was. There's so many guests. I think it is.
And it really wasn't safe to sleep a full 8 hours back then because you never knew whether there were predators around or someone was going to take your mate or what. You had to kind of keep an eye open.
Let me inject something else. As long as you said that. We never slept in quiet. This is an artificial environment we've created for sleep. We always slept where sounds were occurring, and because of something called reticulum sleep, I want to say it's called. Maybe I'm wrong, but the way the central nervous system is vigilant about sounds but blocks you from being awakened by sounds, those sounds allowed you to tell if a predator was coming, if there was a break in the noise, if the crickets stopped chirping. So we actually are designed to sleep with people around us, with noises around us, better than we do in quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing is, just to finish the Olga story, she'll wake up naturally around 2, and she'll do this exercise. It takes 90 minutes for her to do the whole program that she invented for herself, and she calls it the OK Tech, the OK program after her initials, OK, Olga Kotelko. So she does her program, and then she's really enervated and drowsy, and she goes back to sleep for her, what you would say, her second sleep, or E. Kirch would say her second sleep, and then she wakes up. And she's totally alert. She's got a total of 7.5 hours there, but she's broken it up like that. And the funny thing, or the interesting thing with Olga, is that she just does these things because she's really attuned to what her body wants and needs. It's not because she read the science and said, gee, I think that this polyphasic sleep is maybe the way to go, and this might be good for our health and longevity. She just did it. I mean, what I've found is she just sort of honors her body rhythms, and she's really attuned to what her body's asking for. So it's not only things like when to take a break, but also, and I think this is a really big secret of her sort of athletic success, is that when people say, how can it be that she doesn't get injured doing all these events? And the reason, I think, is she's really alive to when her body's sending signals that it's being overstressed and she needs to back off. And most of us aren't very alive to that, or if we are, we block it out, caution flags, and we get hurt. And that matters more and more as you get older, because if you're in your 80s and you get injured in a significant way, it's very hard to get back into competition. That lifestyle may well be over for you. You see your other competitors sort of disappear over the horizon. So you really don't want to get injured in a major way. And that's something Olga is really disciplined about. If she senses that something is overtaxing her, even on this particular day and under these conditions, she'll drop out of an event because she thinks, you know what, this doesn't feel right, and that's what saves her bacon, I think. So she's really
does she drink alcohol?
A little bit, yeah. She'll have a little bit of scotch now and again. She's definitely not a teetotaler.
But she doesn't. Does she drink every day? Does she drink weekly? Would you say?
Yeah, I would say she drinks. I'd have to ask her if she drinks every day. But I think not. I would say she drinks four times. She'll have something for maybe four or five times a week, a little nip of scotch or wine with dinner or something. So somewhere in the range where it's actually beneficial. I mean, it's better to have a little bit of alcohol because it has a
hormetic effect. But what about, has she ever been married?
Yeah, she has. She had a very bad marriage. She had a terrifying marriage that she had to flee from in the night with her young daughter and pregnant with her second daughter. And this was in the 50s at a time when, you know, women on the farm didn't leave. They just didn't leave their husbands, no matter how abusive the husbands were. So she really, she saved herself, and she went through she had some really difficult times, and they really, I think, toughened her up in a way that, you know, that whole generation is tougher than kind of our generation, but she really had some acute stress
has she been on her own for quite a long time now? Because you know, I find that when you are by yourself, you actually can adhere to what your body tells you easier without a partner, like you interrupting. Like, let's say somebody was sleeping next to her, she wants to do a 90-minute okay routine. It's like, okay, that's not going to work.
It's,
you know,
true. That does suggest that's the lifestyle of somebody who's sleeping alone, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you're right. She's been on her own for a long time, and she doesn't. But the downside of not having to accommodate anybody else in your romantic life like that is that you don't get to accommodate someone else in your romantic life like that.
Yeah, no,
like
I
it's
know.
The lone like loneliness is a problem for a lot of older people, and so I think one of the things that really saves Olga is being part of this community of athletes.
Elite athletes at her age, yeah.
Yeah, she's got the social, like, she doesn't have a spouse, but she has this network of social support. And, you know, you talk about the sort of touchy-feely factors that are sort of hard to measure but are important. social support and a sense of being part of a larger thing than just yourself. These correlate with health and longevity. These are really important. And on the flip side, loneliness can be just, you know, radioactive, and it can really, really shorten your life and cause all sorts of problems to all sorts of body systems. So we're learning about sort of the psychosocial dimension of aging. These are really important factors, and it happens that Olga does a lot of things right there too, just the way she does in her more.
I want to take a break and come back and talk about nutrition for a second. I want to find out, you know, does she adhere to any type of special protocol? Does she eat an ancestral diet? So on and so forth. We're talking right now with Bruce Grierson. It's a fascinating book. It's called What Makes Olga Run. And while we're talking about Olga in particular, we know in this audience, and we talk about this all the time, that if you train and you stay active, that mitigates a lot of problems and diseases as we age. That is part of the equation. There's no doubt about it. And I believe Olga is living proof of that. I believe that she would be a different person if she didn't fall in love with the competitive side of running and stay active the way she does. If she sat and watched soap operas all day long, we wouldn't be talking about this book right now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you can purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. The book, What Makes Olga Run, is the subject. We're talking with Bruce Grierson, the author. You know, this book supports and really speaks to a lot of the topics and the mission of the show. And Olga is living it. She doesn't listen to the show. She's doing it instinctively and intuitively. Unfortunately, instincts and intuition have been bred out of us. We have to turn to the government to tell us how to eat. We have to turn to people to tell us how to have relationships, how to raise our children. We've lost our compasses, and it's really important to get your compass back. It's still in there. It's in there. It's spinning, but you're not paying attention to it. And learning how to pay attention to it really needs to be a mission for 2014. How does Olga eat?
She eats pretty well. some of this speaks to what we've just been talking about. She doesn't have a particular sort of scientific diet worked out. She sort of eats when she's hungry. She eats 4 or 5 times a day, sort of smaller meals when she's hungry. She eats. Well, I've scouted in her cupboards and eaten and hung around with her enough to know what's in her pantry now. And you find almost no processed food. Very little that comes out of boxes.
Right.
She almost shops, the outside of the supermarket, as they say, not on the inside shelves. She just doesn't. She eats food is what she eats, and not.
Okay, so
she
eats meat. She's not like a vegan or a vegetarian.
No. She eats a fair bit of meat. You were asking earlier if you thought it was a paleo diet. It's not quite a paleo diet in that she probably eats more carbs than you would if you were strictly going meat and nuts and vegetables. But
right.
She'll have a sandwich for lunch often with a bowl of like a vegetable soup, and so there's gluten in the bread, but it's really the main thing is that it's just it's real food, and a lot of it's homemade, and a lot of it, if there's a sort of secret ingredient, there's a lot of fermented food in her diet just because of her ethnicity. She's got she eats a lot of pickled things, sauerkraut and herring, and then a lot of probiotic in yogurt and things like that. It's funny, we did a spot on the Today Show right around Christmas time, and they really fastened on the pickled herring. They somehow thought that this was the secret of eternal life, and so they were eating pickled herring on the set there and choking it down. And
I love pickled herring, by the way.
Funny.
In my household, we ate pickled herring on New Year's Day because it was supposed to be good luck.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, it was funny that they had picked up on that, and definitely, it's part of the whole gestalt of Olga's diet, the fermented food, but. Really, it's just one thing. And the main thing is that she just doesn't eat a lot of crap like I do.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a lot of refined... She eats almost no refined sugar and not a lot of starch and those sort of... you know, the foods that cause all the inflammation that that we worry about.
So how about supplements?
Our diets are just so dissimilar.
Does she supplement?
Not really. She does take, you find very few older athletes who are competitive who don't take a little bit of glucosamine sulfate for their joints.
Sure.
So she did take a little of that, and sometimes in the winter, I think she's still doing, she's taking vitamin D, because we live in the rainiest part of the rainiest city in Canada, and you just don't see the sun, and so it's hard to get your vitamin D from the sunshine for a good chunk of the year. So she'll do that. But apart from that, her general philosophy is you can get what you need from your food.
Well, yeah, she's right. When you're eating the way she does, when you're eating foods that are designed to be foods and not hot pockets and frozen dinners and stuff, you know.
Hot pockets. That's funny.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing. But one thing I like about her approach to eating is that she's not so strict about her health that she won't occasionally indulge in something that she knows isn't that great for her, but she just feels like it because it's, you know, this is what life's about, pleasure.
Reward.
When you want to reward, and yeah, so she'll have... I've seen her eat, things like, like a donut or, a really heavy sauced dessert. Just because it's the circumstance, she's out with friends, they're celebrating something, and it's just like, this is, we're living here. We're having a life. We're not trying to be... the skinnies, or we're not
right.
trying to worry about extending our life by these increments, by this particular measure and these restrictions. We're living, and so we're, in general, we're following. We have good habits, but occasionally we kick out the traces here, and I like that. I like that she's not so uptight about.
Yeah, no, this. Not rigid. Where I can't go out tonight because I'm dieting.
She's
flexible.
She's one thing about being 95 is you've earned some stuff. You've earned some the right to just enjoy life, and that's another thing that she says. Sometimes people will ask her what. What is the secret? What is the secret? You know, like there is one answer to that. And she, when she's put on the spot like that, she'll usually say something like, laugh at yourself, right? Or enjoy life. That's it.
And that's the hard part that people have. You know, and I fall guilty of this sometimes, but we're all waiting for that other thing that's going to finally bring us happiness, the new car, the better job. Mm-hmm. And, life goes right by, and it's like, oh, my God, I keep moving the finish line out. It's like you need to be happy today with what you have and where you are and who you are, because if you can't be happy with what you are and who you are and where you are now, and we just talked about this the other day, and I'm repeating myself. My mother used to have a saying, wherever you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't escape yourself. If you can't be happy now with what you have and who you are, then whenever you become what you think is going to be the answer, you're still not going to be happy.
It's a temperamental trait to be easygoing. To some degree, something that you know you're born with or you're not. But I think that you can also, I'm sure that now, that you can also cultivate those kinds of dimensions of that trait so that you can be, you can just be more grateful for the good things and less, kvetchy about the bad ones. And you can learn to be... move through the world in a softer, more grateful way. And these things aren't trivial. They really do redound down to more health and longer life. So, it's our approach to the moment-to-moment living.
For me, the easiest thing that anyone can do, no matter what kind of personality you have, the act of love is more important than being loved. Because when you love someone, it you feel it. It affects your physiology. When someone loves you, it may not affect your physiology. Look at unrequited love. So what I say to people is, and I've said this on Facebook in the past, find someone to love, even if it's a friend, a teacher, a mentor, and allow yourself to feel that love, because that feeling that you're feeling, that electricity that you feel when you really love someone or something, it's repairing your body. It's good. So love, practice the act of love. Don't look for someone to love you, because that's where the answer lies.
Well, at the end of my book, I sort of shake out the research about health and longevity, and try to find the ways where the research backs up what Olga does naturally. And I sort of we distilled nine rules out of all of that, and one of them was sort of speaks to what you're talking about. It was be a mensch, and that means just try to think about serving. Have
right.
some sort of service dimension in your life, which tends to give your life meaning.
Yes.
And tends to spike your happiness. It's not, you don't do it in some weird way. You're doing it as much for yourself as you are for other people. But serving kind of gives us energy, and it really does correlate with longevity and health.
If you go to Amazon to get the book, you can get the Kindle version, the hardcover version, or something that I love. It's summer is coming, and you're going to be taking trips. There's an audio CD available at Amazon. So you can listen to the book as you drive cross country. I love that. I love that. I think it's great. Are you planning any follow-up books?
Well, I've done a few books now. This one is just out. So Olga and I are kind of we've traveled around a bit with it, and we're promoting it a bit and talking about it. And so I'm still thinking about this one. And it's so funny when you write a book like this, you hear from a lot of people who say, I think your next book should be What Makes Fred Swim, because my father, Fred, is 92 years old and is a competitive swimmer. And you hear about all the other Olga-like people out there, and there are tons of them. And it's really quite cool to know that, we think that Olga's this extreme outlier. In a lot of ways, she sort of is. But there's so many robust older people doing cool things, and when you write a book like this, they find you, right? And those stories and everyone would like to have their story told too. So I'm keeping a file, and who knows, maybe there can be some sort of a follow-up if we can think of another depth to plumb on the subject. But it's quite heartening and fascinating how many people are doing it right out
yes.
there. You know, how many people get it.
And we have to put spotlights on them, because if you mm-hmm. listen to the mainstream media all day long, all you think is there is nothing but disease, obesity, and misery out there. And it's not that way. There are people living within this world today that have found a way to avoid absorbing all that negativity. Listen, Bruce, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
Really appreciate it, Carl.
Take care.
Fun talking to you. Bye.
All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Jordan Rubin to talk about the confusion over dairy. You know, the paleo community doesn't like dairy. Vegans don't like dairy. What's so bad about dairy? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The American government loves Monsanto, because if Monsanto's successful, then we will control the world, because we'll have control of the food.
Listen to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on Superhuman Radio.com for a free brochure.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. You know, dairy gets a really bad rap. Even my good friend Dr. Lauren Cordain comes out against dairy, and he poses this notion that that the lactose in dairy can lead to cataracts. And I use my critical thinking when I think about dairy. In Daniel Lieberman's book, The History of the Human Body, he talks about agriculture, how it changed us from hunter-gatherers to the civilization that we are today, good or bad, but that dairy, farming and milking animals was a huge nutritional boon for us. It allowed our brains to get bigger. It allowed our bodies to get stronger. It delivered nutrition. We didn't sacrifice animals. We could reuse them over and over again by drinking their milk. And dairy is by far, in my humble opinion, the best food that we have available to us, and it's actually made to be a food. And in fact, it influenced our genetics. There, a large portion of us have something called lactase persistence. We have the genetics because dairy is important to us. And so we're joined now by New York Times bestselling author Jordan Rubin. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing great, Carl. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so you're listening to what I'm saying. You know, dairy gets a bad rap out there. Why does it get a bad rap, Jordan?
There's a number of reasons, but mainly it's misconception. And I grew up the son of vegan parents, and I was told, really, I can't even remember how long, maybe till I was 19 years old, that dairy is bad, that it's glue in a bottle, that it's mucus.
Mucus, yeah, I love that when they say that. It's mucus.
Right, and of course, what's funny, Carl, is that mucus is actually incredibly important for you throughout the body, but obviously you know
milk is
where
not
that's
mucus.
Coming from. People
right.
talk about mucus in your throat, et cetera,
right.
which can be a sign of a sensitivity. But dairy has, I believe, been unfairly attacked. However, with that being said, most dairy that is produced, particularly in America, I wouldn't touch. And that includes a lot of raw grass-fed dairy, which is very surprising to many people because I have promoted raw dairy for 15, maybe longer years, but I do believe dairy can be the ultimate food for people that are young, people that are weak, people that want to get stronger, and I've seen it, Carl, with almost every animal on our farm. It's been said before that we're the only species that consumes dairy when we're weaned, and I can tell you that I have fed dairy to animals that were adult age in illnesses and even different dairy. For example, I had a goat that we literally had to carry into the area where they're living right now. She was on her last leg, real bad parasite infestation, and goats have huge issues with parasites when they graze and the fecal mouth contamination, et cetera. She literally had to be carried. She couldn't walk. And what did I give her every day? A bowl of raw cow's milk dairy, not goat's milk dairy, cow's milk dairy, not any cow's milk dairy, the cow's milk dairy that we produce here at Beyond Organic, which we'll talk about. But, Carl, my chickens get skim milk. I pour off the cream. We use that, what we call top cream. My chickens consume the skim milk. Cats certainly love it. Other animals that are, we call varmints around here, they'll consume it. Adult cows will consume it. The notion that we're the only species that consumes milk is silly. We're the only species that can milk another animal to get milk.
Right.
That's the reality.
Right.
But milk could be the perfect food, Carl, or really it could be one of the worst you could consume.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I want to inject something here. So the problem with dairy today is that some of the negative press about dairy is accurate, but it's because of the commercially produced dairy out there. True or false?
True with a caveat. It's because of the commercially produced dairy, but what I learned over the last 8 years is that even dairy produced the best possible way in the best environment can still be intolerable to some, and it has to do with the cow and the genetics. And that's something that really is evident when you go behind the curtain and understand what dairy is. And I can tell you, Carl, I've counseled and coached people that were on death's door, and the only thing they could tolerate is the right kind of dairy from the right kind of genetics. It has a perfect balance of protein, carbohydrate, fat, amazing source of minerals, and vitamins. And, Carl, there were three different books by two physicians and one legendary health expert. You mentioned physical culture. The founder of the physical culture movement, Bernard McFadden,
right,
wrote a book called The Milk Diet. There's two others, physicians, including
Dr. Ron Schmidt. Dr. Ron Schmidt, he was on my show in 2007. He wrote the book, The Untold Story of Milk. He's
right.
Cured
he
disease
he
with milk.
He talks about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not even who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Charles Sanford Porter, who for 17 years treated 30,000 cases of disease with milk alone. And that's not to mention another gentleman who was the co-founder of the Mayo Foundation, which became the Mayo Clinic. We're not talking about milk that's tolerable. We're talking about Dr. Crew, who said that milk is the most primitive healing food on the planet, providing nourishment to the sickest of sick, Carl, people who are invalids, lying down, could barely move by consuming only milk, gained 2 inches of muscle on their thighs from just drinking milk. So is it a poison or is it a panacea? I guess the listeners get to decide.
Well, so I want to talk about this. I want to get into the whole beta, alpha and beta casein discussion. So explain, there are two types of protein in milk. There is whey and there is casein. The casein is a slower acting protein. When digested, it digests slower. And it's also the bulk of what makes cottage cheese, for instance, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It's also known as curd.
Right.
And the casein is able to be separated through mechanical means and has been for thousands of years. Whey protein has only been separated for about 30 years, just to keep that in mind. So casein or curd was mentioned in the Bible. It was mentioned in other texts from the similar time frame. So curd or casein has been consumed for thousands of years as a stored form of milk.
Was it now was there always an alpha and beta or beta 2? What is it? Beta 1 and beta 2 casein? Correct me.
There's several beta caseins, but there's the ones we're going to talk about are A1 beta casein and A2 beta casein. Unfortunately, in this case, while A1 sounds better, it's not. Think of it this way. Milk is said to be intolerable to humans, and many humans. Many people have a problem tolerating milk. They think it's lactose intolerance. I would argue that there's more to it than that, but here's the ultimate reasoning why I believe what I'm about to say and believe it wholeheartedly. Mother's milk, which is designed to nourish humans for the first 3 years. I know people think you're weird if you breastfeed past a year, but 3 years was the traditional weaning age.
Right, for hunter-gatherers. We started weaning children earlier when we became an agrarian society.
Right, and still people in other cultures will wean at age 3. But the predominant casein in mother's milk is beta casein A2, and there is no A1. Human beings are not introducing a foreign food by consuming most dairy. They're introducing a foreign protein. That's a big difference, and that's the basis of the China study and all this anti-milk propaganda. beta casein A1 or A1 beta casein, which has been called the devil in the milk, Carl, is prevalent in 99.9% of dairy in America. And that's why, whether it's raw, organic, grass-fed, or highly processed, dairy is causing problems.
So it's the A1 form of beta casein. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and I want to understand where the A1 form came from. Was it always around? We're talking right now with New York Times bestselling author Jordan Rubin. He's also a sponsor on Superhuman Radio. His company, Beyond Organic, is changing the way dairy is viewed in this country. Go to superhumanradio.com and learn more. Look for the Beyond Organic banner ad. We'll be right back.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics. Without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Take it back. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Jordan Rubin. We're talking about dairy. so we can get a lot of these answers cleared up and understand where we need to be when it comes to dairy. So, Jordan, you have gone to the extent of finding the genetics of cows that originated back in biblical times. Did they have the A1 form of beta casein in those times?
Well, allegedly, Carl, they didn't. And a researcher by the name of Keith Woodford out of Australia identified a lot of this information in a book called The Devil in the Milk. And he maintains that the original species of cattle, known as Bos indicus, that's B-O-S, indicus, originating in India, Africa, and the Middle East, they are cattle primarily that have humps and floppy ears. And that a few thousand years ago, there was a genetic mutation that caused a second species of cow known as Bos taurus. That is the popular white and black cows. Those are known as Holsteins, or as they're affectionately called, Chick-fil-A cows. There are Angus cows, and there's dozens and dozens of other breeds of Bos taurus. All Bos taurus breeds contain some level of A1 beta casein, whereas Bos indicus is completely free of it. Incidentally, people that live in India, Africa, and the Middle East do great on dairy in their homeland, but when they come to the U.S., they do horribly. That includes African Americans, Eastern Indian origin, Arabs, Jews, which I am one from the Middle East originally. We have a high level of dairy intolerance, but in their homeland, they thrive on it. And some people consume dairy almost exclusively. And as you mentioned, Carl, last week, a secret from many of the early bodybuilders was consuming a certain type of dairy. And I remember learning from a man who had worked out in California, in the Southern California beaches with a lot of these top bodybuilders, Schwarzenegger, et cetera, that they were consuming raw colostrum, raw cream, raw dairy from a particular type of cow. I didn't know why at the time, because I, frankly, was a big fan of goat's milk and sheep's milk,
right,
which I would later learn is beta casein A1 free as well. So I didn't realize that the type of cow could make such a difference. And over the last, I would say, 4 years, we have made a concerted effort to find the right cows to produce the right dairy products, not just to allow people to consume dairy, but in many cases to give them a product that would be among the healthiest foods they consume in a day. Whether you're young or old, food is where it's at, and we've been able to invest in creating, or let's just say bringing back, the original cow.
How hard was that? Where did you go to find these genetics?
Well, you can find them in small pockets in many places. In 1847, the first cattle who were of the Bos indicus species were imported by a gentleman in Texas. And so we found some of the original bulls from that particular bull producer, and they had a great lineage. And then when it came to cows, there is actually a way, Carl, to test cattle to see if they produce A1 exclusively, A1 and A2 mixed, which is not good because you're still getting A1, or A2 exclusively. And about 37% of the thousands of cows we tested were able to fit our genetic profile. This is not genetic modification. This is selective breeding. This is the way that all cattle came to be the way they are today. And I would argue selective breeding has been selecting for the wrong things in the preceding decades, but we selected for what we believe to be the right things. We did some tests in cows to see if the calves that consume milk without A1 beta casein were healthier than calves that consume milk that was full of it. Frankly, if anyone's going to benefit from the correct milk, wouldn't it be a calf? And we found, Carl, that an overwhelming improvement and a correlation between genotype or genetic type and phenotype or physical appearance was astounding. And that told me and leading cattlemen more than anything else that we are on to something here. And of course, we're not cows, but when humans consume the right kind of dairy with the right genetics, with the animals consuming the right diet and the product made or processed gently and in the right way, magic can happen.
Well, and okay, so For those of you who are thinking, gee, well, what is, this is some elusive type of cow. It's not. We all know these cows. They are the Brahman type cows, right? I mean, we've all seen Brahman bulls, right? He has the big hump. He's a huge. He's got a lump that hangs under his chest. He's got huge horns. That's what we're talking about here, right?
Right. Brahman is actually a four cow or four species cross of Bos Indicus. And so a Bos Indicus cow, and I saw them in India when I went a year and a half ago, they look like that. If you look in Pakistan and India, they worship these animals. If you
right.
look at statues, they're all having humps and ears. They milk them and they work them. Most people in India are of the Hindu faith, and they don't believe you can kill cows because cows are sacred. That's where the term holy cow came from.
Right.
So yes, a Brahman or a Brahma is a Bos Indicus cow, and they are really wonderful for warm temperature environments. They're great in to take poor quality feed or grasses and turn them into muscle. But interestingly enough, Carl, what they lack is the ability to tolerate the cold, which is why most places in Europe, most places in the United States don't have this. What? Because they can't handle the cold. They literally can have ears freeze and fall off. They look terrible coming out of the winter. We have bulls that I just looked. This was a horrible winter, as many know, but they lost so much weight. So what we did, Carl, we took efficient grass-eating cattle from both species, all tested free of A1 beta casein, and we bred them together to create essentially a new, yet the oldest cow there is. And we actually have cold-tolerant, heat-tolerant, and get this, fly-resistant cows. I know most people don't care about this or realize this, but when you live in an environment where there's lots of flies, which is almost every place there's manure, flies can literally drive an animal crazy.
Right.
They are constantly trying to get them off. It's horrible. And the Zebu cows, which is the name for humped cow, that's an African word, they have three hairs per follicle, and that somehow, along with their ability to perspire effectively, keeps flies away. So we have content, fly-resistant, I should say somewhat fly-resistant because there's still some flies, heat-tolerant, cold-tolerant, grass-eating, milk-producing machines. And we're the only ones that have them. And, Carl, the proof in this case isn't in the pudding unless you make pudding out of our dairy products. But we really have created something unique. I am a huge fan of supplements, but I've said for years, and I've formulated over 100 supplements, I've said for years, food is primary. Supplement is in addition to. You can't supplement a broken foundation. You've got to fix it. And what we do with food and beverage is create a solid foundation.
Now, I want to be clear about something. You're breeding these cows together. This is very, very different than what's going on right now. Right now, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, and you probably did, but apparently they are genetically engineering a cow that will not pass gas because of the methane problem. They're saying that, you know, all these large farms, these CAFOs, with all these cows on them, are producing all these methane clouds that are destroying the atmosphere. So they're actually genetically modifying cows. Have you heard about this?
I have heard briefly about it. And, you know, I think, Carl, if technically you could probably breed any trait out of any animal. Now, certainly you can't reduce the methane completely, but I guess if you decided to shadow a cow with a methane detector and a mask, preferably, you could determine which ones produced more gas than others. But, yeah, what we're talking about is not genetic modification. It's selective breeding. It's what has been done for thousands of years. They've also called it animal husbandry. I mean, it's a part of that. We're just creating a better and healthier, more adapted cow. And we're doing the same thing that people have done for the last 50 years, except we're putting them in the right direction.
Well,
I
have a question for you as a farmer of cows. So is it my imagination, or do cows produce more methane when you feed them things like soy and corn and oats versus grass?
Absolutely. Certain
so why don't they, this is what I'm getting at. Why are they genetically modifying cows to produce less methane? Why don't they just feed them silage and grass?
Yeah, I think what you've just described is the tail that's wagging the cow.
And
believe it or not, silage is actually not as beneficial as many think. It could be okay if it's done a certain way, but there's, just like humans, certain foods produce more gas in cows than others. An efficient digestive tract involves a cow consuming greens, not just grasses, but greens that grow, getting sunshine, getting rest in fresh pasture, and actively moving. And those are the components of what we do here at Beyond Organic.
We have to take a break. I want to ask you more about silage when we come back, because this is something I thought was a good idea. So maybe you can, because for those who are out there that are doing business with a local family farm, this would really be a good education. Stay tuned. We're talking with Jordan Rubin. We'll be right back.
The government doesn't always have your health in its best interest. Luckily, we have Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today. The key to getting lean and staying lean is insulin control. Wild swings in blood sugar create body fat. How would you like to be able to ensure that more of your meals feed muscle and not fat? Now you can with GlycoSolve. GlycoSolve contains the most potent berberine on the market. It will shuttle glucose to muscle, not fat. Made in the USA in a GMP-certified facility. Save 10% when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to leanerliving.com today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with New York Times bestselling author Jordan Rubin. We're talking about dairy. Not all created equal. So, When is silage a bad idea? I guess if it's coming from soy and stuff like that, or how do you figure when silage is bad?
It's a good question. Well, first of all, silage typically does come from corn. If in the industry someone says silage, it's usually corn silage. And silage is essentially fermented feed. It's slowly fermented feed, so they'll pile it up. They'll cover it sometimes, and certain microbes get in there over time and break it down.
Like composting, really,
like a compost environment, yeah. Right. Now, when you make silage from grasses, it's not a bad thing, but it does create certain byproducts that could increase animals to have gas, but it also could upset the balance of their flora. So it's not to say that it isn't beneficial at all. But cattle don't really need fermented foods the way humans do, because cows are ruminants. They have a four-chamber digestive tract where they get a lot more bang for their digestive buck than we do. Omnivores and carnivores benefit greatly from fermented foods, but ruminants don't benefit as well because their body already does that, and consuming the whole food is really good. Now, there is a type of silage called direct-cut silage where it is essentially fresh greens, vacuum-sealed, with a slow-growing culture in it. But typical silage, while not bad, I'm seeing certain very progressive dairies disallow any silage to be fed as part of their superiority program for raising cows. And I don't know all the reasons why, but I know that there's a trend there.
Well, okay, so if nothing else, human intervention. What I mean by that is cows would have never had silage, unless they are placed in a farm where humans are handling them, right? They wouldn't find silage just laying on the side of a field somewhere if they were just roaming around. So that alone tells you that it's, that alone tells you, like, well, this is like processed food for cows.
Right. And someone might say, well, they wouldn't find hay either, but that's really not true. Grass will dry. I mean, if grass grows to a certain height, if it gets stepped on, disconnected from the ground, so you can find hay-like grasses in nature, but very rarely will you find silage. So it's a very good point.
What about early? I noticed that dairy, and I don't know if you have this problem as well with your products, it just dawned on me, but I know that depending on when cows feed, early in the summer when things are growing fast, the milk tastes different. If they get into onions or scallions, obviously the milk has a little different flavor. Their flavors of the milk are affected by what and when cows eat. So should people be aware of that, and because the product may differ at different times of season?
Well, it's a great point. Most cattle now are fed a very consistent ration, because even the grass-fed cows are fed a majority of their diet, and it's certainly in most cases 25 to 50% of either hay or pellets or something like that. So you're not going to get the variation as much. But in our case, absolutely. I remember planting some fields of kale, and we turned cows out into those fields, and it certainly changes the flavor, especially of cheese. Now, the product that we make from whole, true dairy is called Amasi. It's spelled Amasai, but it's pronounced Amasi, and we use a proprietary fermentation process using probiotics, so our taste is more consistent. What does change, Carl, is our consistency. Mm. Based on the time of year and the protein and the fat, our dairy can be a little thicker or a little thinner, and also, of course, shipping conditions affect that, but it is so true. The dairy that a cow consumes is a product of the environment. Dairy produced on a rainy day, on a sunny day, on certain grasses at certain levels of maturity and certain time of year are all slightly different. And throughout the world, the spring milk, the late spring milk, has always been prized. In cultures in Switzerland, Carl,
yes,
took the first batch of butter, put a candle in it, and lit it to celebrate the amazing nutrition that comes from the rapidly growing grasses. And that's a lot of what Weston Price identified in this unknown factor that he found in the fat of dairy called X factor or activator X. We know that now, Carl, to be vitamin K2, MK4.
Right.
And I know you talk about MK7 and so do others, but MK7 is from fermented soy. MK4 is from the fat of dairy products. They're both the active forms, not synthetic forms, and they're both superior to K1. Dr. Price didn't name it vitamin K2, but that was the X factor that he said caused rapid health and growth improvements in people, the knitting of bone, the health of cardiovascular systems. This activator X is found in rapidly growing grass that is fed to cattle and the thereof. So cheese, cultured dairy products, a little bit in milk, etc. And it's another amazing reason to consume dairy.
You know, I don't want to belabor this point, but I want people to understand something. If you haven't had an experience with raw unpasteurized dairy from a local source, you won't know this, but you should know this. You know, food back in the day wasn't consistent. It didn't all look the same, smell the same. It didn't have the same color. Things change from time to time and season to season. And milk is probably the most profoundly affected by that. Milk varies by season, the quality of it, the smell of it, the amount of fat in it, and so on. And so when you buy products that are really made adhering to ancestral tradition, don't expect them every time you get them to look exactly the same and smell exactly the same. You know, when your mom cooked a dish, it was pretty much the same, but there were always variations. Maybe she used a different amount of spice, or the tomatoes weren't as deep red. It's the same thing when you buy foods that are prepared based on ancestral tradition. So, you know, and I want to make sure that people understand that, because I that's something I had to learn a decade ago. I remember the first time I got springtime milk. It had a smell to it. And I thought, wait a minute, something's wrong with this milk. It actually smelled, the best thing I could say is it smelled to me like a gaminess, if you will, a gaminess. That's all I can say. And I remember calling my farmer, and he said, oh, no, you know, the grass is growing fast right now. That's the most nutritious grass. This is the best milk. This is the best time for the milk. It has the most nutrition in it because the cows are eating rapidly growing grass. It's loaded with nutrition, and that's what you're smelling. So now I know every season when I get my milk, it's going to be a little different at this time of the year and this time of the year and this time of the year. And you have to be prepared for that as well, I think, when someone is producing foods using these type of ancestral traditions as Beyond Organic is. And I just want to get that out there, Jordan. That's all, you know.
It's a great point, Carl, and it really makes me excited to know food can vary with the seasons and know this detail. And I've always talked about the idea of getting your food from a place that you know and appreciate, knowing where your food comes from. It's what everyone never knew they always wanted. And it's very important today, even in health food stores, there's little or no tolerance to seasonal variation of food, but there has to be. And for example, what our cows eat, there's cool season grasses, there's warm season grasses, and then there's those that come quickly and leave quickly. It varies. Clover imparts certain nutrients, but clover needs a wet and somewhat cool environment. In the summer, there's certain grasses that thrive. I can think of several off the top of my head. And that's going to change the nutrition of the dairy. However, when you're exclusively grass-fed or what we call green-fed, you're always going to be at a good base level, and anything above that or any changes should be celebrated. One, I remember, Carl, going out one day into a field of oat grass. I picked it. I ate it. It was very sweet, tasted like wheatgrass, but sweeter. And my cows were in there, and I wrote down the date because I knew I wanted to go back and get cheese from that was made from the milk that day, because I knew that the deep green oat grass, which was loaded with nutrition, was going to be converted on a sunny day into amazing stored forms of vitamins and minerals. And in fact, I really would love a vegan to sit in a field and watch my cows eat in the sunshine beautiful, succulent grass, and tell me how the cow is doing anything but concentrating and improving solar energy for humans to digest it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's really, really interesting. How do you toe the line? Obviously, you are using a traditional style of farming that has been lost, but you're also doing this in a way that, without lack of better terms, of mass production. How do you toe the line between changing some of the things that are important to meet the demands?
You know, it's been simple to do. Easy, no. Simple, yes. And essentially, Carl, our grazing system is built on really the migration of animals such as buffalo and deer, gazelles, et cetera. I mean, we use certain principles that have been around for thousands of years that animals would do in the wild when grazing. That's number one. When producing the product, most of our equipment and our methods were developed in the early 1900s. A lot of the newfangled equipment we don't use. For example, it
really
takes us 180 times longer to low temperature process our milk than it would to use a high-temperature pasteurization that now allows milk to be stored on a shelf without refrigeration. Carl, you may not know this, and others don't either, but organic milk in the containers, cardboard containers, much of that milk doesn't need to be in the refrigerator. The reason it is,
it's
dead. Because people aren't, they're not willing to admit that they can get milk in the pasteurized juice section or in the middle of the store. So the consumer acceptance for on-the-shelf milk in the United States isn't there. But when you heat milk to 260 degrees or scalding the milk, deteriorating the protein, you can do that. We use the minimum temperature allowed by law.
135?
It takes us 180 times longer. It's 145, actually.
Okay, yeah.
But it is below the point of protein denaturization,
right,
which means that certain microbes are alive, the proteins aren't denatured, and after that, we culture it using 30-plus probiotics in stainless steel tanks for about 20 hours. Now, get this, Carl. Our pH, which is generated by the probiotics, is optimal. That I am now consuming our Amasi after 11 months. Now, our shelf life is 4 months, just to be clear in terms of our label, but I'm consuming 11-month-old Amasi. The stuff is so solid, I don't think any germs can even live in it.
Right. And that's because of pH, obviously. Look, we're going to take our last commercial break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Jordan Rubin. Stay tuned.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto is kind of like the head of the serpent.
The battle cry against Monsanto is being broadcast.
But I've said that separating government from that industry is like trying to separate Siamese twins or conjoined twins who share a heart. You have to make a decision which is going to live and which is going to die. There's no easy way to separate.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with New York Times bestselling author Jordan Rubin. We're talking about his new venture. And you know, it's a noble venture. I got to be honest with you. So I know a lot of people out there sitting there going, oh, yeah, you know, this is all about making money. But you know what? Everybody out there is doing something to make a living. What Jordan has done is he's reintroduced the availability of dairy products that have been gone from the face of the earth for a very, very long time. And you have to go back to biblical times to find them. And you know what? If you're going to be in business, Jordan, you should do something that actually helps people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think people today really want to know not only the products that they're consuming, but where the profits go. And I don't have enough time to get into the details, but Carl, I had a very successful company in the natural products industry. I formulated over 100 nutritional supplements, started the number one selling brand of nutritional supplements in health food stores today, started that in my parents' friend's garage. And I was able to sell that company to pursue a dream that I believe God gave me, and that was to not only restore food to its original quality, but to take those resources and provide an opportunity for children who didn't have parents or homes to be cared for, nurtured physically, spiritually, emotionally. And that's why I moved my family from what many call paradise in South Florida to South Central Missouri in the middle of everywhere, as I like to call it. So the products that we offer, including our flagship dairy product called Amasi, is designed to strengthen the body, whether you're a bodybuilder, whether you're a stay-at-home mom. If you're young, it's amazing. If you're old, it's even more amazing. It is something that is beyond yogurt, beyond kefir, and beyond compare. And there's so many ways, Carl, that Amasi is different, that is, than other dairy products. I run out of ways to even compare it. But one such differentiator that I almost mentioned before the break, we culture our Amasi in stainless steel tanks. Did you know that yogurt, cup-set yogurt, the kind that we're used to eating with a spoon, is cultured in the container? And you might say, well, so what?
In the plastic container.
Deal. That's a big deal when you consider that the dairy has to be well over 100 degrees, oftentimes 120, sometimes 130, 140, so that the culture will take root. And in yogurt, they use a thermophilic or heat-loving culture. So they take the milk, they keep it at a high temperature, and they ferment it in plastic, which, as we know, can certainly leach certain compounds into the product, especially when you're dealing with fat and acids.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. This is amazing. So the majority of the people in this audience, you've thrown away Tupperware. You would never put something plastic in the oven or in the microwave because you know that the heat leaches all those horrible chemicals and plastic into your food. I never knew that. So is that true of even things like Faji that everybody's always crazy about?
Well, I don't want to mention particular brands, Carl, and I can't be certain how a strained yogurt would ferment, but from what I learned, and this isn't something I set out to learn, there's some things that I learned that you'd be shocked, and I'll tell you one or two of those, but I was told when we were looking at doing cup-set yogurt, this was us considering doing it,
right,
that you cultured the product for about 4 to 6 hours in the plastic, and I said, no way. And so, again, we do have plastic bottles that are BPA-free, but our product is brought down to cool temperatures before the bottle is filled. So that's why people say, well, why isn't Amasi in a cup? There's a reason, because I am not willing to have the product be cultured that way, and we don't use thickeners. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah,
but
right.
That really alarmed me. Another thing, Carl, that'll shock you, I hope, is that organic cows that produce dairy are allowed to be vaccinated and use certain medications. This just shocked me. I don't believe in vaccinations. I don't vaccinate my kids. I wasn't vaccinated when I was a child. I don't tell people what to do in that area, but how could I offer cattle free of medicine but yet vaccinate them? I mean, how does that make any sense?
You know, I've told this story on the air before, and I'll tell it again. I used to be in the alarm business, security business, and we were doing there was a farmer here in Kentucky who had people taking things out of one of his barns, and he wanted us to put some cameras up for him, and we did. And I'll tell you something else. Dairy farmers work harder than any other people in the world. They work all day long. There's no weekends. There's no holidays. There's no Christmas Eves. None of that. But anyway, so when we were doing the cameras, I was talking to this guy, real nice guy, and he was explaining a lot about the dairy business to me. And so we got into talking about, he had a big, big silver truck, you know, the big tanker that you fill up with the milk, and then you bring it to whoever is going to buy the milk from you, because they're the ones that are going to pasteurize it and package it and so on. He was telling me this story about the milk. And he said, this is before I started drinking raw dairy. This is when I was still sick. I was still like 300 pounds. And he said, you know, his family only drinks the milk right from the cow. He wouldn't buy milk at the grocery store. And I said, why? And he goes, well, he goes, a friend of mine, and he said a friend of mine, I think he said it like on the wink, wink. You know, he said a friend of mine was bringing a shipment of milk into that place up there. He mentioned the name. He said that when they got there, you know, what they do is they open the lid and they test the milk for pathogens. And they said, oh, the milk was no good. The milk had too high of a load of pathogens. So the guy says, okay. And with that, he backs his truck up, jackknifes it, turns around. He drives into the next town, finds a 7-Eleven, gets a few gallons of Clorox, opens the top of the truck, pours the Clorox in, drives, and then he continues to drive the milk for about a half an hour, goes back to the same place that just sent them away early that morning. Later that afternoon, they test the milk. They go, okay, it passes. They put it in, and someone drank that milk. Is it? Now, are you shocked by that one? Or have you heard that before?
No, that's a new one. I mean, I've heard similar things, but Carl, we also know that during the drought 2 years ago in the Midwest, Southwest, that an animal nutritionist prescribed the cattle consume out-of-date candy, including gummy worms and another types of candy, as an animal feed.
Right.
So nothing surprises me, but Carl, organic shouldn't be allowed to do some of the things that it does. That's why we use the term beyond organic. But more than any of this, people only care so much about what's in their food. They want to know what to do for them. And Carl, if I could list for you the stories that people have shared with me about Amasi. We have people gain weight that need to, lose weight that need to. We have people that have blood sugar improvements. We've had children that have improved in their learning ability and in areas that I can't talk about on this program, but just amazing results with all manner of individuals by consuming the beverage that the Maasai tribe made famous. They were the strongest, most athletic tribe in all of Africa, and they consumed 90% of their diet as milk from special cows, and they had a recipe where they took the milk, put it in a gourd, fermented it, and it came out as Maas or Amasi. And today, Carl, for the first time in America in our history, there's something better than yogurt, in my opinion. There's something better than kefir. If you've tried those without success, if you think you can't consume dairy, you give Amasi a try, and you might find that your digestive tract, your immune system, and every other area of your body, including your brain and your muscles, thank you every single day.
Yeah, I like the plain. I like that bitter taste. And by the way, sacred terrain herbs, I drink that stuff out of the bottle. I love that stuff. It really is. In fact, I did. I just did a 48-hour fast. I don't do 48-hour fasts very often. I do maybe twice a year. I just did a 48-hour fast, and on my second day, I ended up consuming a half bottle of the Terrain. That's all
that
I drank for the whole day.
I've actually consumed a bottle straight a couple of times recently. But no, though that is a really, really great product. In fact, Beyond Organic is founded upon many principles, but probiotics, fermented foods, organic acids, these are the missing elements of our diet, and you're getting those in these packs that we're offering on Superhuman Radio. And, of course, if you go to superhumandairy.com, also you get a free copy of my book, The Maker's Diet Revolution, the sequel to The Maker's Diet, and you're going to get a free membership to our wholesale buying club at Beyond Organic. So, Carl, I really think that every one of your listeners, no matter what supplement regimen they're on, no matter what exercise regimen or diet they're on, will benefit from Amasi, would benefit from Terrain Sacred Herbs, and would benefit by living Beyond Organic.
Yes, absolutely. Jordan, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Amasi banner ad, or go to superhumandairy.com to learn more about the offers being made from Beyond Organic to this audience. Also, I want to thank my first guest, Bruce Grierson, and his book, What Makes Olga Run, is available at Amazon.com. I say you buy the audio version, and when you're driving across country someday on vacation this summer, you listen to it. All right, we'll see you tomorrow with more Supreme Radio. Of course, tomorrow's Friday. I will be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. Until then, thank you.
Asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.